Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. We have an action-packed episode where we dive into detail the audits across America, getting to the bottom of the 2020 election. One thing you guys can count on this show is we are not going to keep our eye off of what happened in the 2020 election. And if that compels you to support us, it's charliekirk.com/support. The corporate media wants to forget what happened in the 2020 election and never get to the bottom of it. But here on this show, we are fearless and courageous and trying to find the truth. CharlieKirk.com/support. I want to thank Will, Carl, and Andrew for supporting us at CharlieKirk.com/support. It really helps us out. God bless you guys. It's time to get to the bottom of the 2020 election. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
The school year is ending, and families are making plans to send their kids to summer camp. But kids with a mom or dad in prison are often forgotten and overlooked. That's where Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree Camps come in. Hi, this is Charlie Kirk, and I'm partnering again this year with Prison Fellowship to send 163 kids to camp this summer. Their lives will never be the same, and neither will yours when you help send a kid to camp. A one-time donation of $200 provides a scholarship to send a kid to an Angel Tree summer camp where they can build a relationship with a caring camp counselor, hear the gospel, and experience the love of God in the great outdoors. If you have fond memories of a summer camp experience, you can help make a child have some of those best memories one can have. $200 sends one child to camp. Your donation of any amount will help. Call 888-206-2802. That's 888-206-2802. Or go to charliekirk.com to make your donation today. Help a kid go to summer camp, charliekirk.com. We have elections to hopefully reflect our values at the highest levels of government. In the West, in non-totalitarian countries, power must be earned. And so we must ask ourselves the question, what is a human being? A human being is a speaking thing. We're able to speak to each other. So in the West, you must get power by speech, by having better ideas, better plans. Maybe people vote for you because of your character, your ethics, your view, what you believe you are going to do. Elections are really important because we have decided to voluntarily create systems of power, first on the local level, then on the state level, then on the federal level. And we kind of forget all about the family and the individual. As our founding fathers wrote, that the most important is the individual, the family. And I truly believe that without strong families, you will have weak individuals, which is exactly what we have in our country right now. And then you form the city, and then you form the state, and then if necessary, you create a federated government. And our system is so backwards where all of our emphasis is on the federated government or the federal government, but it really is a federated system. And so little on ourselves, on the family, on the city, on the state. And then we focus, of course, on the federal. And so elections are not something to be played with. Elections are the way that we are able to sort things out, not get to violence. You see, without speech, we'd just be fighting all the time. We'd be no different than the beasts of the wild. So since we are the speaking beings, as Aristotle famously said, and we decide there needs to be some power that we give up and relinquish, then how we do elections is critical. And if there are ever any questions around how elections are conducted, then those questions must be cleared up with factual and reasonable answers. Now, one side of the American political discourse, the people that control the papers and the people that control our universities and control our media, the activist left, they want no such conversation to exist at all. I'm talking about the New York Times crowd. They say the election is over with. Everything was perfect. Sit down and shut up. Now, they do not take that tone when they get a result they don't like. They're the ones that concocted a fake narrative about Russian interference into our election. They're the ones that were dividing the country around this idea of a Kremlin infiltration into America. No, the New York Times is the one that originally warned about mail-in voter fraud. They're the ones that came up with the term granny farming, which was to go to nursing homes and to pick up ballots for the candidate that you choose, of which there is a plethora of evidence that this happened in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, amongst other states. But many of our leaders don't care about that. You see, those of us that have been through elections before, we know that because of the Chinese coronavirus and the lockdowns and the hysteria and the Fauciism that spread across our country, we decided to remake the way we did all elections in our country. And now, as the aftershocks of the election are wearing off and we can look at the fault lines within our own system, we are saying, time out, there are a lot of unanswered questions. The way that we counted the ballots, the way we registered voters, the way that ballots came in. And there is a word that is now being spread for good reason, and it gives me hope, and it is the pursuit of truth: audit. Audits are occurring at a record pace now. And I'm going to give you an update of every single audit that is happening across the country. And the New York Times is trying to discredit this. And I always say, if the left was so content with the outcome, if the left was really satisfied and they believe they won fairly, wouldn't they want an audit? Wouldn't they want an investigation into what happened? Or are they worried that a robust factual investigation into our election systems will result in possibly the discovery, in possibly the revelation, in possibly the uncovering of a broken system, which might make them less likely to win another election again? Remember, in the West, power is earned. There's a reason why when Fidel Castro used to give a speech, it would be 6 hours long. People would be passing out, and they'd still be clamoring with applause. It's because in dictatorship, speech is not a way that you get power. He spoke for 6 hours because that's how long he wanted to speak. Total narcissist, sociopath. And he wanted to exercise his control over subjects. And if anyone would dare say anything that Fidel didn't like, to prison with you. Same with Mao. Same with Mussolini. You see, in the West, speech must appeal to, hopefully, the better nature of the citizens. You must earn your power. And elections are a reflection of that. In the Federalist Papers, in Federalist 68, it says, nor would it be found easy suddenly to embark upon them. Elections, dispersed as they would be over 13 states, and any combinations founded upon motives which they could not properly be denominated corrupt, might yet be in nature to mislead them from their duty. The Founding Fathers talked at length about what happens if we have, and this was written by Alexander Hamilton, never elected president, killed by Aaron Burr, but was Treasury Secretary and a good man. What are we supposed to do when we encounter a system that is broken? We don't tolerate it. We look into it. So what we have is this almost, if we were to do nothing, if we were to allow the current fault lines to go unaddressed, if we were to allow the fractures in our system to continue, we would have what Alexis de Tocqueville would call democratic despotism. The appearance that we're living in a free society, but in reality, we have a boot on our neck and our freedoms and liberties are evaporating. The tyranny of abstractions. So right now, there's an audit happening in Arizona. We're going to get to that. There's also, thanks to a judge, an audit that's about to happen in Georgia, in Fulton County. There is also an audit that's happening right now in New Hampshire. audits are spreading across the country at a record pace. So let's go to New Hampshire to start. Initial results from a forensic election audit investigating shows that there were discrepancies in the Windham voting that showed four Republican candidates for the state house were indeed shortchanged by more than 200 votes each last November. The team of three overseers and volunteers continued their second week of work at the Edward Cross Training Center in Pembroke, a New Hampshire National Guard facility chosen for its secure environment. Their job is to find an explanation for why Democrats were credited with more votes in an early machine-tallied vote than they received in a hand recount while Republicans were shortchanged. That's VNews.com. So initially, we already have audit results out of New Hampshire, a state that Trump narrowly lost, the state that has a very important Senate race coming up in 2022, that shows that Republicans were shortchanged, that the way that they folded ballots, there were over 220 additional votes, and that is just one micro-investigation. Holy moly, everybody. Does that go to show the 200 votes in one micro-investigation? This is what we know. According to the Forensic Election Audit Investigation, Valley News, this is a local news agency. Don't expect the Washington Post or New York Times to cover this anytime soon. Corey Lewandowski said, quote, "This isn't just about the town of Windham. We're seeing things like this take place all across the entire country." What if this last election was putting a square peg through a round hole? What if it was forced? What if any discussion or inquiry into any of this was not allowed for a variety of different reasons? In 1857, the SS Central, also known as the Gold Ship, sank with 9.1 tons of gold on board, valued at $2.1 million. That is the modern-day equivalent to hundreds of millions of dollars, the greatest American treasure ever discovered at sea. Today, Noble Gold, a California-based company with a pristine reputation, has a share of these coins available to their clients. Over 7,000 gold coins, mostly $1, $5, and $20, gold coins from 1840 to 1857 were recovered from the SS Central America shipwreck. Most of these coins were from the Ship of Gold, were quickly acquired by private collectors when the coins were first brought to the market in 2000. Now, Noble Gold's clients can get this unforgettable part of American history at a fair, affordable valuation. Contact Noble Gold and ask about the Kirk shipwreck deal. To receive this unique offer, visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and then call a Noble Gold representative to ask about the shipwreck coins. It's time to tell better stories at your parties by showcasing a one-of-kind coins from collection destined to rise in value. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Audits are happening across America, and the one in Georgia in particular is very interesting. A judge has now allowed 146,000 ballots, I believe that's the right number, to be reviewed in Fulton County, Georgia. Now, the activist media is ignoring this or they are mocking this, calling this is only a continuation of the big lie. If that's the case, why are judges then allowing this to proceed? Judges are not tossing these out without merit. Instead, they are allowing these audits to continue. And that's a very big deal. So what will be found in this audit? Well, we believe that when, if true, an honest examination of these ballots is done and is accomplished, we will see that there are many errors in signature verification, many errors in how the ballots were even folded, which is one of the problems that we have seen in Georgia. And we talk about this at length on our website, charliekirk.com. In fact, it's our leading article right now. So I encourage all of you guys to check it out at charliekirk.com. And let me be very clear. On this program, we are not going to move on. We are not going to forget about the 2020 election. We are going to get the bottom of this. And I also want to be very clear. I do not see any elections being overturned. Now, some people say the case could flip the presidential certification. What I do think, though, is that it should demand a new Senate runoff between either Warnock or Loeffler, because there are so many problems in the way that these elections were conducted. Former Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler tweeted, quote, breaking, Judge Brian Amaro has granted a motion to unseal and inspect Fulton County absentee ballots in the 2020 election. I'm going to say good for Kelly Loeffler for not giving up on this. I think she's trying to save herself from some reputational damage, maybe run for something in the future. But I give her credit for putting her money towards something constructive. I do. Thank you, Kelly Loeffler. The large discrepancies, and the judge, by the way, is allowing this to proceed. The judge did not toss this out. And Loeffler continued by saying, unfortunately, inconsistencies in Fulton County's November 2020 absentee ballots cast serious doubt on voters' faith in our elections. She's right. The Henry County judge, the Honorable Brian J. Amaro, gave access to the plaintiffs at voterja.org to the physical mail-in ballots, which could show massive election fraud. So basically, there's a lot of things that need to happen once these ballot access is given. We need to compare them to voter registration numbers. We need to compare their signatures to the signatures that are on file with driver's licenses. In a hearing, the judge heard this evidence that there was a major discrepancy, 21%, between the number of ballot batches reported by Raffensperger and the number of ballot batches actually provided by court-ordered access in the previous hearing in the April case. VoterGA.org, which is Kelly Loeffler's group, has been examining the ballot images at low resolution since the hearing in April. And again, I'm reading from CharlieKirk.com, so check it out, and declared that they need the actual physical ballots to understand the number of counterfeit ballots certified. Whoa! Counterfeit ballots certified? What were you doing, Republican Brad Raffensperger? For those of you that have been listening to us since the election, you know we went full court press on Brad Raffensperger. We went 10 out of 10. DEFCON 1. We knew that there was something wrong with this guy. And then they had that other guy that kept on gallivanting on television, the independent contractor who pretended like he ran Western and said, what was that guy's name? Not a fan. Fulton County attorneys also objected to expert witnesses testifying the number of ballot batches certified by Secretary of State Raffensperger in the previous risk-limiting audit, which were significantly different from the actual number of ballot image batches that were provided by state and county officials. Amazingly, the attorneys for Fulton County said, quote, the county has no control over its election tabulation process. It says that the expert witnesses said in the ballot, the high number of ballots appear to have been counted twice. There was an error rate in the batch of 21%. What does this mean? There is no roadmap. We don't know. Could an election be overturned? Unlikely. Could it force another election? Unlikely. Could it remove a certification? Maybe. Now, the balance of the Senate is 50-50. So if they find a discrepancy and a judge continues to allow this to go and there is evidence of this, I don't know what that means. Now, because we implemented the 17th Amendment, no thanks to Woodrow Wilson, we can't actually recall Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff. But we might find some evidence that Warnock and Ossoff are in office fraudulently. We might find evidence that Ossoff and Warnock never actually won. I don't know. I'm just asking questions here. So much more as we go to audits across America.
Is it time to stop renting and buy your first home? Owning your home is an investment in your future. And with today's low rates, now is the time to do it. Often with mortgage payment, it's the same as rent. So why pay for someone else's mortgage payment? Going through the mortgage process for the first time means you're going to have lots of questions. You need someone you can trust. I recommend Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. These guys are honest, trustworthy professionals who can answer all of your questions and walk you through the entire process. They help first-time homebuyers and put the actual plan together. And because Andrew and Todd are bankers, not brokers, Andrew and Todd and their team personally work with you from the start to finish. You always have someone in your corner. I've heard amazing things about Andrew and Todd, so take the first step towards home ownership. You know you want to. Just go online and answer a few questions at andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. If you guys are a mortgage, maybe you're looking to buy a home, do it while rates are low. Go to andrewandtodd.com, andrewandtodd.com.
In the last week, it seems more and more states are now stepping up with their own election audits quietly. Georgia, North, New Hampshire, Arizona, and even Michigan. So I want to be very clear. I want to set our expectations. I'm not saying that an election is going to be overturned. They're very clear that in Arizona that is not the case. Instead, this is about finding what happened, what occurred, I should say, getting to the bottom of it, being able hopefully to fix that problem so it can never happen again, and then also being very clear about who is responsible for this. So in New Hampshire, we've already seen that there was a major discrepancy of 200 votes that should have went to Republicans. 200 votes. We already know that there were people that are mentally incapacitated that were forced to vote for Joe Biden in Milwaukee. We know about the Nevada Native Project. We know about polluted and broken voter rolls. And yet many of our leaders say it's time to move on. Don't worry about that. We don't care if people don't trust our elections. Elections that have integrity are critical to freedom. How can people be free? How can people pursue the good if you actually have no say in the selection of our leaders? If all of your activism, if you wanting to run for office, a participatory citizen-based government, if all of that is just simply a simulation, then how can you actually live in a free society? It's just a matter of time before they actually exercise the power that they have been able to get because of the lack of our elections. And so this is happening right now in real time. Arizona audit continues, and the moderate Republicans are trying to stop it. Now, Joe Scarborough is freaking out over this. He says, if you don't believe in our democracy, then leave the country. Well, first of all, Mr. Scarborough, we are a republic. We are not a democracy. And in a republic, we believe the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states. Therefore, every state has their own ability to be able to audit the way that they elect their leaders, and they send their leaders to the federal government. So I would argue, Joe Scarborough, that we are actually protecting our mechanism for democratic elections. Yes, we do have democratic elections, but we are not a democracy. It's a very important difference. A republic has very clear rules for our leaders, things that cannot be violated, ultimate truths. A republic makes claims about things that do not change. A democracy simply appeals to the needs, wants, and desires of the clamors of the mob. Now, that's not to say republics can't change. There are mechanisms to fix things in republics, but it takes time. It takes multiple elections, and it takes you appealing to those eternal truths. Play cut 24 of George Scarborough, just losing it. Cut 24.
America, love it or leave it. If you don't have respect in American democracy anymore, if you don't respect Madisonian checks and balances, if your guy doesn't win, if that's the new rules of engagement for this great republic, then just leave our country.
So Starbucks used to sponsor Morning Joe, and if that's still the case, he needs one less espresso shot in the morning. So there's just so much there to unpack. And unlike Joe Scarborough, I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm going to be very factual. No, I would argue that we are actually preserving Madisonian checks and balances. We are preserving the tradition of Montesquieu and Cicero, Joe Scarborough, because when all of a sudden you find 200 ballots in just one sample size in New Hampshire that got counted for the wrong person, and the states are doing that, that's precisely the system that James Madison argued in Federalist 10 or Federalist 51. Madisonian constitutionalism argues that without elections that are trusted, with a population that does not believe in the integrity of how we put people into power, because power must be earned, power is not taken, power is not stolen, power is not storming of the Bastille. No, power is given, power is granted. And if the granting mechanism of power is even slightly questioned, and I think it's more than questioned, I think it is corrupted, well then, whatever power people have is illegitimate. And so Joe Scarborough is actually repeating a refrain that many conservatives use, and I use it all the time. If you don't love it, leave it. Hold on, Joe Scarborough. So let me be clear. If you think something is broken and you want to fix that thing is broken, that somehow you should just leave? Is this now the new position of the American left? The American left is now using a refrain that I have used and conservatives have used about the Constitution, which the Constitution is the most successful conservative device in world history because the Constitution makes it so hard to radically change things. And that's a good thing because it makes claims about an existing moral order, about things that are always true. It makes claims about not things that are necessarily ideological, but a transcendent order. And so Joe Scarborough is now a defender of a broken system. No one who is rational or reasonable, of which I do not expect from the smear merchants on television, can honestly say that when you had an increase from 240,000 mail-in ballots in Georgia to 1.2 mail-in ballots in Georgia, that everything was done perfectly and precisely. And by the way, an election is not the same as making sure your bags get on the right airplane when you go on your summer vacation. This is far more important than that. And by the way, there is error for lost baggage. Let's go to cut 25. Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer, who is awful. Play cut 25.
Stop defaming my employees. Stop saying we broke the law without any evidence and stop besmirching all the hard work that they have put in. The second thing would be, you know, come on out, Republicans. The water's warm. Now's the time, because if we don't push back against this now, we're going to be doing this all the way through 2022 and possibly through 2024, so long as some of these figures stay in national politics.
So when you deal with something that has massive volume, you have to calculate that within that exercise or within that practice, something is going to be flawed or broken, or there will be an error rate. There's an error rate for almost everything. When you drive, there is a chance you might get an accident. You might get a flat tire. When you fly, there is a 3.09 out of 1,000 chance that your bag gets lost or mishandled. And so when you fly, you understand that error, and they're trying to reduce that error, but they don't say that that error does not exist. So why is it that when we talk about voting, and we have changed the way that we've done all of our voting over the last year with no assurances of how we're going to count the ballots and how we're going to register the voters, instead we had $400 million coming in from Mark Zuckerberg for the Center for Technology for Civic Life that fundamentally changed the way we did elections for good. And so this apparatchik, Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer, is saying that we're defaming his employees. No, I would like some answers to some questions. Why did it take you 13 days to count all your ballots? Why all of a sudden did you change vote counting centers? Did you clean the voter rolls? Are there any dead people on the voter rolls in Maricopa County? People that moved? Transient voters? Peter Meyer, who I'm ashamed that Turning Point Action ever helped, who I hope has a very short political career, he is the ultimate coward in American politics and a very dishonest person who pretended he was a pro-Trump Republican and has turned out to be nothing more than the Vichy French, has gone out and said, when you start to go down such absurd rabbit holes, there's always going to be fabrications of one sort or the other. He is an illogical, irrational, unreasonable person, a pathological ideologue that seeks the clamor of the applause and the cocktail invites, the lowest form of a politician, the person that I believe deserves to be amongst the scum dwellers and the street merchants, the bums of the world. I've said enough about Peter Meyer. Go to cut 26.
I'm certainly worried when you start to hear that they're bringing in microscopes to look for traces of bamboo because of the supposition that all of these ballots were flown in from China. When you start to go down such absurd rabbit holes, there's always going to be fabrication of one sort or the other. And to me, that's what's really worrying, is if you are latched on to a fiction, you will find things to support it. And we've really created this two-tiered reality.
He is now the minister. He is now head of the Ministry of Truth. And if he knew his Orwell, don't worry, he'll be taken out. He's perfect controlled opposition. He is obedient. He's young. If I was the Democrats, I would love Peter Meyer. He does everything I tell him to do. He pretends to be a Republican. He lies constantly. No courage at all whatsoever. Completely malleable. Totally pliable. Nothing he says is reasonable, but perfectly pathological. And so as we look at these audits, then now there might be one in Michigan. You might ask the question, why are they happening now? It's because the lawsuits from people like Phil Klein and others have not stopped. And reasonable judges are looking at the evidence and they're allowing it to proceed. And it's so important for you and for us on this program, which is why I want to thank you for subscribing to our podcast, that programs like ours do not lose sight of this. They want us to stop talking about it. They're going to call it a conspiracy theorist, an unfounded theory, when all we are is asking questions. We're asking questions. I remember the days of All the President's Men when questions were asked of Richard Nixon. He said, "You're a conspiracy theorist," and it unraveled the presidency of an untouchable Republican figure. All we are doing is asking questions. Was every vote counted correctly? Are voter rolls perfectly pure? Was the system in any way corrupted? Don't be afraid of the truth. The truth will set you free. And if you're afraid of the truth like Peter Meyer or this smear merchant, Stephen Richer, then maybe you're hiding something. A gas station sells regular unleaded for $4 a gallon. The gas stations next door sell the exact same unleaded gas for $2 a gallon. So which are you going to buy? The $2 gas, right? It's a no-brainer. So why are you still paying overinflated rates for wireless with Verizon, T-Mobile, or AT&T when you can be getting the exact same coverage as one of those big carriers with PureTalk? Except get this, it costs you less than half. The average family is saving over $800 a year. Right now, get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just over $30 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. Switching is so easy. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or choose from the latest iPhones or Androids. Make the smart choice and switch to PureTalk. Just dial #250, that's #250, say the keyword Charlie Kirk to save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Charlie Kirk. PureTalk is simply smarter wireless. People say, Charlie, how do you have hope? Or why do you have hope? A couple things, two. Oh, there's more than two, but I have hope because the left, they are advancing ideas that are so unpopular, so radical, that if people ever wake up, there will be a backlash. And number two is that the Democrats and the left, these collectivists, they're trying to be the first ever movement to take over a country while hating and criticizing the country they're trying to take over. It is a flagless revolution. The Bolsheviks were pro-Russian. Mao was pro-China. The Cubans were pro-Cuba. Mussolini was pro-Italy. And yet, Nicole Hannah Jones and Robin DiAngelo and Ta-Nehisi Coates and BLM Incorporated want power while saying we hate the flag, we hate the pledge, we hate the national anthem. Veterans have served for nothing, and there is a breaking point for this. People want to be part of a nation. Not everybody. There's the apparatchiks and the utopians. But there is a yearning in our soul and our spirit to be part of something bigger than ourselves. This is why sports are so popular. This is why when I see a highlight reel of Michael Jordan, even though I never saw him play a game live as a Chicago Bull, I feel a connection to him. I feel part of that. When I see the Chicago Cubs, when they used to be non-woke, I feel a connection to that. And sports only is a small part of the type of patriotic identity that is natural, that kind of nationalistic fervor we have, which is a word we should be unafraid of, is something that speaks to the better angels of our nature. And so here's one example, cut six. A Georgia school board has made a decision to not teach critical race theory. And it was met with a standing ovation from parents. Dare I go back to a man who wrote more about biblical prophecy than physics, Sir Isaac Newton? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And dare I say, here is the equal and opposite reaction. Cut six.
But to this point, I again emphasize that neither I nor your school board have any plans to implement critical race theory or the 1619 Project. We have no plans to implement any of their concepts or race-based teaching under that name or any other name. I recognize that our intentions have become widely misunderstood within the community and have created division. To that end, I've concluded there will be no separate DEI plan. Staff and I do know.
Standing ovation from parents, and they were all there. That school board meeting was packed, everybody. And I believe the front line for saving our republic will be happening in two places. In the audit rooms to find out what happened in our election and the school boards across the country. And now we are living through that equal and opposite reaction. The Democrats are on defense. BLM Incorporated approval rating is sinking by the day, 1 year after it really rose to prominence. People are asking themselves, wait, hold on a second. I'm all for trying to leave a better country. I don't want to be miscategorized as hateful, but I also will not tolerate more discrimination to make up for something that I never did and something I read about many years ago. The resurgent conservative movement must be very clear about this three-tied knot that holds us together, as Edmund Burke famously said. The people that came before us, the dead, the living, those of us now, and those yet to be born. Honoring those that came before, trying to make good for what we have, and preserve the beautiful for those of yet to come. The Democrats and the collectivists and the leftists may have no such desire for such intergenerational contract. To honor our history, to make good for what we have, and preserve the meaningful for what has yet to come. I'm optimistic as I'm starting to see people push back as the governor of Oklahoma, Governor Stitt, says critical race theory will not be taught in the state of Oklahoma. I'm becoming optimistic because I'm seeing people reject the abstractions of ideology and commit to things that are real, reject dogma and see what things that work that are eternal, to protect private property and know that it's linked to freedom, to defend justice as an idea of getting what you deserve, not taking from people what they have earned. I'm seeing crumbs. I'm seeing a canary in the coal mine. I'm seeing a harbinger of something massive and monumental. We must fix our elections and audit them so that we never have what happened happen again, and proclaim truth and things that never change with courage, and then we will win. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.